Welcome to Ag Tech Talk, Agribusiness Global's podcast exploring the latest technology innovations, tools, and services that are moving the crop input community forward. I'm your host, Dan Jacobs, Senior Editor with Agribusiness Global. Each episode, we talk with industry experts for their insights on ag tech solutions being developed around the world and how they could impact your business. Whether it's agricultural technology you'll find in the field, on a tablet, or in the air, we'll talk about it here. Thanks for joining us. Today, we're talking with Aaron Hutchinson, CEO and founder of CropTrack. CropTrack leverages decades of industry data science, process improvement, program management, and geospatial experience to help companies analyze, simplify, and digitize their existing supply chains. That sounds rather ambitious.
Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
I'm Aaron Hutchinson. I come from a produce and citrus family out of Florida. I grew up in the 80s, grew up on the farm in the 80s when farming was a little tough, as everybody remembers. So I went to school to be a computer engineer and electrical engineer, spent a little time seeing the world with the Navy. And you know, we had our first company then. When we exited that company, we looked back to ag because two of the three founders, one of them was a woman, which I never thought of saying that before, other than last week somebody pointed out that so few ag startups are actually have women founders in it, so that should advertise that. So, you know, this is our second business for us as a partner, so we must get along pretty well. And our first company was we built 3D GIS tools for the military world. And the way I kind of like to think about that is think Halo, but your life depends on it. You know, people are really, you know, the decisions you're making and how you're going about that is based on the data that you have in hand. And it needs to work every time, and it needs to work in really austere environments. And you think about it, that's farming, right? We need our data. We need it all the time. We can't lose it. We're going to use it in an austere environment where there's no internet. It's really dirty. It's really noisy. It's a lot of things that kind of parallel the way we think about that. Two of the founders are from farming families. And so why did we start the second? Why did we start our second business? Well, what we figured out was we hated the idea that our clients in the military could go anywhere in the world and never lose a piece of data, but our parents would go home with their iPack or something like that and plug it in, and then first thing that would happen is the data for the day would be gone. And so back to using the three-ring binder that was in their shirt pocket, right? That was the only thing that really, really assured them they had their data. And, you know, because of our background in GIS, think geospatial, think field boundaries, soil sampling and things like that, it aligned really well with the way we thought about the world. And we actually made the first soil sampling and scouting apps that were in the Apple App Store in the planet in 2009, more than a year before there was an iPad. And at the same time, we actually laid a mission. And I think that really drives the way the company goes forward. And our mission is still the same here today. We didn't change it in any way. And that is to use data to identify and address systematic supply chain problems that limit the availability of safe, affordable, and sustainable food. I think that's just as applicable today when we think about the supply chain issues that we're having as it was back in 2009, which tells you that there's still a lot to be done there that we, you know, we can have an impact on. And I think the only thing that would change today that if I was to write that, I would say nutritious. Because if you're kind of paying attention, people are now really worried about, is the food good for me? Not just, do I have calories? And so that's kind of where we come from.
Very good. I know on your website, it talks about you as a, you know, I think you addressed this a little bit, as a serial entrepreneur. Can you talk a little bit about some of the other ventures? I mean, you started to address those a little bit. Can you talk a little bit more about what that is and what led you into ag?
Yeah, well, I think a little bit of that is because of our background, right? Since we're farm kids, it's kind of hard to get away from it. You can run away, but you keep coming back. My parents said, "Be anything but a farmer," and yet here I am. And like I said, so when I left the military, there was a transition from very specialty hardware, much like ag, right? You think about your Nomads, were purposely built soil sampling tools. And we were doing things on PCs that were embedded into tanks and airplanes and things like that. And so what we saw was the phones that we were that were available from Apple at the time, even though they were tiny, represented the same sort of technology leap in the marketplace. And so what we wanted to do was take the same sort of embedded military-ish technology that always works and apply it to ag. And our first, you know, our soil sampling apps and our scouting apps way back in 2009, you know, we had over 50,000 users right out of the gate for that. And we were really, really excited about that. But over time, you know, what's happened is this, the company's actually evolved as well. And so I think we'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Sure. Maybe this would be a good time to talk about exactly, can you describe what CropTrack is and what, you know, what it is you're offering to manage the supply chain?
Yeah. So I think first, this is probably important to say that there's not one. There's lots and lots of supply chains. They all intercede with each other. There's horizontal and vertical ones. The way I think about describing the world is if you think about processing plant being the middle of the universe, there is contracts, there's farming, there's logistics and monitoring, there's scales and receiving, there's payment calculations or settlements. Then you flip them over and you produce the world, then you have logistics, payments, marketing, right? All of the things that you think about exist on both sides of that plant. Large vertically integrated customers, and for some of the largest food and beverage companies on the planet, we handle everything from digitally contracting the grower to grow an IP crop or to grow a crop, all the way through the settlement for them. And that includes making sure all the compliance paperwork's in place, making sure that that the crop arrives on time, on scale, with great quality and things that are required for them to kind of turn it into a value-added product for the food company. Or put really fresh things on your shelf, right? So one of our clients is the largest fresh tomato grower in the world. So we handle everything from the food safety linkages, the traceability linkages, and all of the little stamps that we love to find on our food. It's organic, it's fair trade, it's, you know, water sensitive, climate smart, eco smart, regenerative. Those are all paper collection problems. And so what we do is we make sure we get all the observations and all the data so that we can fill out compliance paperwork that goes on your food.
You talked a little bit about this, some of the farm solutions in the past, you know, they'd go in, they'd plug in their data and, you know, suddenly it would disappear. So they went back to the old notebook approach, the three-ring binder. But what you're offering, and we've been hearing about cloud solutions for a long time. I think in the last couple of years, they've just, you know, everything is cloud-based. Why is that sort of the solution to that data, that lost data problem?
Well, I mean, the first one is, you know, the first one that everybody thinks about is first is probably the digital transformation part, which is, can we turn paper into digital? So the first step is, can we put it in a way that we can handle it, consistently? Second one is a cloud. I think cloud is, the way to think about cloud is a technology. It's not in and of itself, it's not an answer. It's kind of like what you would build your thing on. It's like choosing the difference between diesel or gas or something like that. But what you do with that technology is what makes it safe, you know, making it back itself up, making it available on multiple machines. So if one of them goes down, the other ones can fill in the voids, right? Cloud's important. It lowered the cost of startups being able to, you know, field new products. And because those lower costs were up front, that meant we had lower cost products to try, right? So without a cloud, we wouldn't have had all of these 4 billion new startups who were all running around, you know, selling something from as cheap as 99 cents for an app to as, you know, $30 or $40 an acre. Those were all taking advantage of the fact that there is an infrastructure already there that handles the compute and the storage and the backup and the like. But if they use it smartly, then they also get safety and data safety and data reuse and data sharing, right? We talk about collaboration and sharing. Those will all become potentials because there's connectivity between all these different vendors.
Okay. You mentioned this, like when there are new solutions out there, a bunch of people sort of jump into the fray. So you have, you know, there's going to be some fallout. There's going to be obviously some success stories and obviously some people that probably shouldn't have gotten in there in the first place, or they have a technology, but they don't really know agriculture. How is that going to play out for CropTrack? How do you differentiate yourself and let people know that you know, you're legit versus just, you know, some other solution on the street there?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first is, we've been around since 2009. So if we were spending other people's money, we'd probably be long gone by now. Second, I think, is the fact that, you know, we're selling in 70 countries for 70 different kinds of crops in 15 languages. And we're doing it for our, you know, when you walk into a grocery store, you see labels everywhere that have the stickers, and the food is there because we played a role in that. You know, people I can talk about because they've actually made it public are like Del Monte. So if it goes in a can, it goes in a bag, if it's a, then it touched CropTrack. And I think that fact that we, you know, grew up with the farmer, worked with ag retailers, worked with suppliers, and now work with the food company, we had this ability to kind of interact in the interest of these large vertically integrated and food companies, collecting and filling holes and voids in the process to collect data that gets them to products they can put on the shelf and marketing that they can actually rely on, right? Because if you think about it, a lot of companies are talking about net zero water and, you know, lower uses of nitrogen. Now that those ESGs are required to have teeth behind them, because if you're a publicly traded company, you have to put them in your filing reports. What does that mean? That means you have to have all of the supporting materials for the story that you're telling. You can't just say, I'm going to do something. You have to prove that you did it. And we play a critical role for some super large global companies in the process of doing that. We help them baseline, we help them collect the data, and we help them report that data.
Okay, very good. You know, you talk about the supply chain. You know, if the last few years have shown us nothing, there's always going to be something to disrupt those supply chains. You know, we've had COVID for almost 3 years now. We've had war in Ukraine, you know, Russia and Ukraine. You know, obviously there's always weather issues that, you know, that's been going on since farming has been going on. How does the, you know, when it's that unexpected, you know, how does the solution you offer, or not necessarily you specifically, but how can, you know, these types of solutions help manage through those supply chain glitches?
I think the way to think about it is risk, right? So we're talking about risk management. So how do I look at my operations and figure out what's the best way forward? I think an example of that might be during COVID, one of our clients, we handle all of their contracts with their growers and their delivery points and the logistics and such. We were able to work with that grower to tell them how much they needed to fulfill the contracts that actually continued. So you think about, I had a bunch of contracts, 100% worth of contracts. During that first little window, some of them fell as many as 40 or 50%. So how do I get the cheapest ones into those to fulfill those contracts? So we helped them do that. The other piece was, is they played what if games. So what if I take the rest of that and do something with it? And so what do I mean by that was, in their case, they actually bought a crop that they dehydrated that they ultimately sold on to the client and was their core product. And what ended up happening was, because of the way the world was acting, one of their primary competitors was offshore. Remember, nothing was coming onshore. And so we got to play the what if game. How much would it cost for me to ship it to a fresh market? And what would I charge for it so that I actually made money instead of lost money, moving it from being dehydrated and sitting on a shelf to moving it and selling it as fresh? So we were able to work with the client to help them figure that out and then click a couple of buttons. And all of a sudden, the truckers went to a different locations. The growers didn't know anything changed because from them, they got paid exactly the same. So we ended up changing the destination of where the crops were going, and then that got a different kind of pricing associated with it for the client. So they ended up making a lot more money that year than they would have probably made because they filled in an entire fresh gap that was missing because of offshore crops. So having the data all in one collation, being able to ask it questions, being able to play what if, is one way. And the other one was, is understanding what each every field's worth, what you had in it. So you understood what it meant when you took it and used it, right? So you could go get the cheapest or the highest quality or highest volume or the least number of miles away from the plant, right? You can think about the game that you might want to play involves a lot more dimensions than, you know, was it delivered on Tuesday?
Okay. In addition to supply chain disruptions, we've been hearing a lot about sustainability. It's a very important word in the last couple of years, carbon offsets, all these types of things. I guess there's two questions here. One is your solution or these types of solutions, can they accommodate that? And then secondly, when something like this comes up, it's a relatively new thing. I don't think we were talking about carbon offsets in 2009 when you started. How easy is it to incorporate, you know, a new area, a new issue into a solution like this?
Okay. Well, really three questions you asked me. So what is...
make it too easy for you.
Yeah, we don't want to make it too easy. So carbon, you asked about carbon sustainability and new. I think they're all the same. I think they're all the same question with a slightly different slant. And what I mean by that is once there's a pipeline of moving data, so if we move the data for food safety or traceability or recalls, once that pipeline is in place for moving, you know, information, it starts at the grower level and kind of goes all the way to the food company. Lifting it to allow it to collect more information and move more and different information is actually a lot easier than you might think, because you've already overcome a lot of the hard hurdles, which is how do I get my buyers, my accounting department, my agro, my grower, and everybody to share information in a consistent and seamless way? And how do I store it and produce it into reports and dashboards, or in the case of carbon and sustainability, accreditation paperwork, so that you can actually, you know, get credit for the work that you did. Going through a pipeline to, you know, with observations and activities to get an organic sticker is almost the same as going through to get a carbon sticker. You still have to do the same activities. It's just that instead of did I just drive a tractor over the field, it's how long did I drive the tractor over the field. So it's a little lift. I would say maybe a 10% lift. But at the end of the day, you're going down the same pipelines. Sustainability at some level is also the same. You know, sustainability is what was the activities? And did you do activities that actually give you credit, or did you not do activities that give you cover crop? It's a yes or no kind of question. Did you do it, and when did you do it? You know, did you use drip tape? So, you know, those types of questions that kind of fall into that. And so by having an ability to go through and see all these different observations from different people. So for us, we get IoT things, you know, straight from the machines, straight from sensors that are on the farm. We get IOP, right? Internet of People. That is, you know, people carrying around iPads and all. And we've even gone so far as the internet of internet. And what I mean by that is for some of our applications to make sure there's high adoption rate and make sure the data gets into the system, we can get it all the way down to as simple as a series of text messages. You're a contract grower, contract sprayer. He comes on the field. He says, I did this activity. I started, I stopped, I did this. So no tools to download, nothing really to learn other than something like entering data in your bank. And, you know, and at the same time, we now have an activity. We have a real-time data collection thing that we can audit that becomes part of the record, the bigger record, that allows us to check the box for sustainability or carbon or organic or myriad of about, there are about 1300 labels out there that you can put on food. So, each one of them was their own dedicated pathway, nobody would get anything done. So, you know, we're looking for commonality. And so how do we deal with new things? New things are every day, right? A great example is FSMA, Food Safety Modernization Act. It was signed just a couple of months ago. It's going to land on agriculture here in the month of November is what we've been told from DC. What that means is that all crops need to follow the PTI standard, the Produce Traceability Initiative standard for how food is handled from the farm all the way to the consumer. those kinds of new initiatives turn out to be, again, lifts. A lot of the data is already collected. It just needs to be formatted in the appropriate way. It needs to be moved in the appropriate way, and it needs to be aggregated in the appropriate way. And as a company, we have people who are full-time Global Gap sustainability certified people who help with our clients to position their data so that they can do these things. And some of them are more complex than you might think. And a good example of that is if we think about food loss or we think about carbon, in the US, there's, you know, Field the Market. In Europe, there's Cool Farm Tool. In Asia, there's SAI. So for my global clients, it's not just how do I answer the question on one continent for one vendor, but how do I do it so that I can ship my food anywhere in the world? So part of that standardization is also, you know, finding commonality across all of these different models as well.
Okay. So let's talk about the data. You mentioned that several times now. There are millions, if not billions of data points that can be collected, you know,
and getting more. Yeah.
And more, you know, and I keep thinking like, baseball stats. Every time I turn around, there's a new stat they're coming out with. So I'm sure it's just as complicated or even more so on the farm. It's one thing to get all that data. It's another thing to actually do something with it. So how does that play in? I mean, does CropTrack, are you able to take reports and get recommendations from that? How does that work?
So, the role we play, we look down on food, from the food company and those big vertically integrated guys. So we're not, kind of competing with your ag retailer. We're taking the data from it. So we're not saying this should be your variable rate. What we're saying is you did a variable rate, and what was it that you included in it? Because that in the end affects things like, did I meet my, as a bigger food company or a bigger corporation, did I meet my sustainability goal of using less nitrogen? I need to know how much you use, so I know how much totally I used, right, as an organization. The other piece is, when we think about it kind of in that level as well, that information has to be connected. And so what ends up happening is it's the same challenge that a farmer has on his farm, which is he ends up with a report from his ag retailer, he ends up with a report from his tractor, he ends up with a report from, that happens at scale as well when you have millions of farms involved and lots of millions and millions of fields below those things. And so our job is not just to get it all into a big giant pile, because it would just be a big giant trash pile if we did that, but it is also to connect the dots, is to find the reasons or find the ways that we can reassociate the data to itself. A great example is a lot of times we find ourselves in a world where the tractor did an application and we have to go find the invoice that actually is the thing that actually got applied. Because it took both of those for us to be able to say, are you still kosher? Did you blow your contract because you sprayed up beyond the 40 chemicals that are allowed under the contract? Are you using things in a way that would restrict my resale of the product somewhere else? So I think that's when we think about specialty crops in grains and corns, beans, and rice, I think that's the future is. Putting data around it so that it actually has more than one attribute associated with it. So it's no longer a commodity, it becomes specialty itself, because now we know how it was grown. So now we can actually choose specific marketplaces to go sell that in, which increases its value both for you as the farmer and as the food company.
So, I mean, the data, again, you said it comes from a variety of places. Some of these, companies have proprietary systems. This tractor may not talk to that, whatever it is,
Yep.
So how do you bring all that data together so that it's, you're still able to use it, but like, there's not a hole because this one you can't access, or is that not an issue for you?
Yeah, no, what it means is relationships, right? I mean, the same challenges that everybody else has is, can you build relationships with all of the people who are necessary to supply you data? And because of sometimes who we work with, the requirement of the contract is that data needs to be accessible. So you can't win a big giant, you know, PepsiCo or a Lamb Weston or something like that contract without, you know, being compatible with their data requirements at the end of the day. But the other way we do this is we also do a lot of partnerships. So, you know, there are companies in the world who are becoming really good at bridging proprietary to standardization. And so we exercise those as much as possible. We also, whenever we can, we exercise the open standards things, you know, the ag gateway adapts and such, are there to help us bridge some of these as well. And in the worst case, we write another plugin. And that is, you know, that is the kind of the truth of the industry right now is lots of little piles of data. And to get all of them together, you have to go in a sense, negotiate with each and every one of those groups. And I think that's the long-term challenge for agriculture. But I think FSMA, you know, this Food Safety Modernization Act, this idea that we need to be able to tell you where something came from in 24 hours digitally is going to require that we don't pick up the phone and talk to people. We're going to have to share data at some level amongst all of the participants, all the stakeholders.
Okay. All right. So it's just old, you know, what do you call it? Good old fashioned, you know, connections, making yep. Connections with companies, with people. That's one of the challenges. What are some of the other challenges to getting, you know, a solution like this, whether it's yours or God forbid a competitor, you know, to adopt this solution. And then the other side of that, well, let's start with that. Let's just go with that. What are some of the challenges you have?
I think, I think one of the first challenges is just getting people to do it. We worked with a multi-state ChemC guy, and we spent an entire year with their IT department designing the perfect tool for them and, you know, with all the support materials and all of that. Big day came, they handed out shrink wrapped iPads with, you know, to all of the people they were supposed to go out and collect the data. A year later, 10 of them came back still shrink wrapped. So if you never open the box, then you can never get the advantage of the technology. So there is a little bit of, can you help them kind of overcome those things? And, you know, our lesson from that was Facebook is our friend. No matter how old you are, how gray you are, I can get you talking to your kids, your grandkids, or your, you know, through Facebook, then all of a sudden technology is not a hurdle for you. So it becomes a little bit easier. The other one is sometimes it's exposure. One of the adoption problems that we run into a lot of times is because, you know, at the top, the cutting edge growers, I think we talk about them a lot because they're just pushing the envelope as hard as they can. But a lot of places we end up, you know, when they see the desktop that we put in the grading room, or we're, you know, we hand them a phone for the first time for the purposes of data collection, for a lot of them, that's their first touch of technology. We worked with a really large green chili grower and went into this plant, and paper was everywhere. You know, paper went out, it was harvested, people wrote on the paper, it came to the grading scale, it was written on paper, the paper just kind of followed around. And what was interesting about it was by the time we were done, everybody had to have a piece of digital, and several of them said, you know what, I work in this part of green chilies for this time of the year, but I also work in another crop down the street during the other part of the year. And now that I have computer experience, right, they had been introduced to technology. They weren't afraid of a mouse. They now understood what scrolling means. I mean, some of the things we take advantage of at the core of small farms and small corporations is cutting edge for them. And just giving the time to allow them to feel comfortable about it is I think a huge thing. But you also have to expose the right type of technology for the right person. And so we have overseas, we have smallholder farmers. So think of about a hectare, an acre and a half, 2 acres, something like that. There's a million of them. So think about, you know, dealing with passwords with a million people. Probably can't do that. You would spend, you know, you'd have a data center as big as Microsoft just setting, resetting passwords all the time. So we ended up building social media based tools for interacting with them because they felt comfortable in social media. the password was part of the social media event. And so therefore moving the data was really easy because it was something they were used to and felt friendly to. So I think the challenges for technologists like us is to find the right interface for them. And I think the challenges for companies who want to roll innovation, change is hard, is they have to put the time in to have people feel, understand the value and feel comfortable with it before they kind of set them off into the world. And I think you're going to get surprised when you see the smiles on people's faces that they're doing something new and cutting edge, because people say the old guys don't want anything new and they're the hard adopters. And I would argue that there are people who love things that change and there are people who hate change. I don't care what age you are. And so, and I think we find that we want to deal with less change as we get older. But if we understand the value for it, then we actually are more inclined to take on that change. And we've seen that again and again in multiple countries around the globe, multiple different types of crops, multiple levels of education. It really doesn't, it isn't like if you're smarter or dumber, you know, one of these, it's just, do you have the inclination to try? And if you do, I think the technologies these days between the user experience work that we do and the UI work that's done with these technologies, they're meant to be very approachable. We just have to get them in their hands and let them try.
You know, obviously this technology, you know, evolves, you know, quickly. Where do you see, you know, these types of solutions, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, or is that too far a time frame? I don't know that.
We have to think that far ahead because it takes us about 36 months sometimes to do a really radical change in technology. So if we're not thinking 36, 40, you know, 48 months, then we're thinking tomorrow and there's just not enough time to do something radically changed. I think some of the things that are happening right now that are going to have a huge impact on the way we think about these things is the new 4K cameras and the tractor portion of smart. You know, we already see it in See & Spray. We're starting to see mechanical weeding. We're starting to see all kinds of things happening in those tractors. But for them to work, they're actually collecting data on every plant. And so remember we started when you said there's lots of data. Well, think about there used to be when my dad was, there was a field and you did everything to the field equally. And then we started thinking about soil zones and then we started variable rate zones. Then we started thinking about rows, right? So we're starting to interact with rows. And now we're thinking about every plant as having its own project, its own prescription, its own what chemicals, what fertilizers, what weeding, what needs to happen to it happens on an individual. And somewhere that data has to be saved because we have to answer the question, how much did we spray? How much nitrogen did we use? So we've gone from, you know, 3 to 10 measurements on a field to 1.5 million if you were thinking about carrots. So big data is getting ready to get big, and that which is going to lead to all kinds of other new types of AI things as well. I expect there's going to still be the same mix that we have today. We get about half of our data automatically. And we get a rest of it through either, you know, interacting with paper in some way that has to be re-entered or through manual entry. You know, the tractor got washed between a GMO and a non-GMO field is not going to be automatic. It's going to have to be a manual thing. And a lot of the maintenance that goes on with that tractor and things will be manual as well. So there are aspects that will become totally interesting. There'll be aspects that won't. And I think we're going to see a lot more trust but verify. You know, you enter a piece of information, the satellite flies over and we say, yep, you did plant when you said you did for your insurance policy. Yep, it does look like you had flooding in the lower right hand corner. Or yep, it looks like you put some nitrogen down 30 days ago because your plant growth is a lot higher than it was 30 days ago. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that as well, and that might lead to some amount of more automated data entry. But I don't ever see us kind of sitting in our house on the couch drinking tea and coffee and And the tractors are all fully roaming around, auto magically just taking care of it for me. And if they're going to do that, they might as well hedge trade for me too. Get that part out of the way, right?
Sure. Very good. I think I've asked just about all my questions. What else do we need to know?
You know, I think that you know, collecting all this data is very doable. We do it every day. I think the challenges that we're getting ready to see, like I said, with FSMA and all of that, will feel like huge mountains to climb, because we're going to break the traditional process of moving corn from, you know, field to elevators to trains to barges without really tracking it. I think that whole world's getting ready to kind of change, because the crops are getting very specific, right? High LX, high nutrient kind of grains and things. And I hope that the audience is open for change, because it's only going to get a little bit faster here in the near future. And hopefully people like CropTrack with our technology solutions can help them, you know, overcome their fear for that and become more successful farmers as well.
Great. And if somebody wants to learn more about CropTrack, where should they go?
They can go to our website, CropTrack, CropTrack.com. Or they can send an email to our hello@croptrack.com and somebody will reach back out to you.
Terrific. Well, thank you very much, Aaron, for your time today. We really appreciate your insights and learning more about CropTrack, and then just you know, some of these technological solutions in general and how they can be used to make the ag community run a little more smoothly.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
Join us next time for another installment of AgTech Talk, where we'll talk with another expert improving the ag industry through technology.